from the ArmeniaProud.com studios.
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture. Only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Genatsit, genatsit, parluising shpesek, my friends. It's a Friday here, and I got my partner, Chris. How are you, Chris?
I am wonderful today, Jono. How are you?
Everything's great. Everything's great. And I tell you, we had that show last week, and we're getting a lot of good responses for people out there that are interested about this big matchup, legendary matchup, you might say, between Ararat taking on the Cosmos February 20th.
That is a big deal.
Yep. It's at Citrus Stadium at Citrus College. And what town was that in?
That is in, let's look real quick.
And you can find it at internationalsoccerchallenge.com for more information on this. And you can also call for tickets 818-209-0282 or 818-903-7792.
And that's right outside of Los Angeles in Glendora.
Glendora. That's where we're at, folks. And that is February 20th. You know what? We had two shows that week, Chris.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely.
It was kind of exciting. We had Victoria Aslanyan, and she's the CEO of Armas Winery. And I tell you what, I am so excited about going to Armenia this spring, or not this spring, this summer I will be there, and I can't wait to visit.
That's great. I wish I was going.
Yeah. Well, you got popping my luggage.
Your luggage.
Yeah. The way Armenians do it, too, they load the hell out of the luggage.
You got to bring a lot.
There is not an inch left of luggages whenever you go on the road with an Armenian. So I don't even think I can fit you in it. Anyway, this show's going to be great. This show we have... Well, we have Ann Bedion again.
Wow.
And
I'm a huge fan of her.
I'm telling you, she is so cool. She is so cool, and she's going to be on our show talking about this great movie that she is in, and that is called The Last Inhabitant.
Last Inhabitant.
How about that? And I guess she could tell us all about it. Yeah, I'm so exciting. Pumped up about it. So welcome to the show, Ann. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. We got me and Chris here. We're going to be...
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm good. How are you?
Really good.
I tell you what, we had a great time with you last time, and we said, hey, you know what? You got this great movie coming out, The Last Inhabitant, and why not interview again about it?
Uh-huh.
So...
Great. Inhabitant, yeah.
Inhabitant. You know, I've been screwing that word up, Chris.
Yeah.
I sound like that little Elmer Fudd saying this every time. Inhabitant. Okay. Since you were on the show last time, tell us a little bit about what you've been up to, what you're doing, and so forth.
What I've been doing since then. When was I?
I think that was in spring,
yeah,
wasn't
it's
it?
Been
springtime.
Since the spring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you told us that you're on your way a couple weeks later to go to Armenia and so forth. That you're getting involved in this movie.
Yes, absolutely. So I ended up going because I usually go to Armenia once a year. So whenever I have a work or any other opportunity, I always take advantage of that. So I went a week earlier to spend a week in Yerevan. And also I have some family there from Syria. They've been there for like over 2 years now. So I got to spend a week in Yerevan. And then, of course, Jivan had me brought up to Karabakh, to Artsakh. We were staying in a hotel in Stepanakert, but the movie was entirely shot in the director's native village. And it's a village called Khachmach.
Khachmach?
Like, you know, when we say, yeah. Khachmach. Okay. Like, you know when we say Ator Mator Dun Mun?
Right.
Literally
yeah.
like that. It's like Khachmach. And so, it's like, so I don't know, maybe...
Does that sound like a cross man? Is that Khachmart?
No, not much. Much.
Oh,
you know
much,
when we say
much.
Like... Yeah, Khachmach. Like okay. Dun Mun.
I got you.
You
I
know,
got
like,
you.
You know when we say that kind of... So it's right. called Khachmach.
Okay.
And it's his native village. And it's like, I don't know, 100, maybe 200 people?
You know what? And I did see you post some pictures up. It was kind of cool. You seemed like you were just living a type of like a farm life. And it was dreary and snowy. It didn't look like it was very fun to work in. But you know what? It seemed like you were having a great time as well.
Oh, no, it was, no, I mean, it was actually beautiful to work. I mean, it's nature at its best. I mean, the views were breathtaking. The mountains,
really?
It's really mountainous, Karabakh, yeah. The air is so clean. I mean, there was a tonnade in the middle of the queue, so all the women gather there and make their bread in the morning, so I would be there getting a fresh thing of bread and walking and seeing, like, real farm animals, not, like, corporately farmed animals,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they
real
come out of the trailer, and yeah, yeah.
Yeah, ducks, dogs, you know, it was horses, I was in love, I was like, oh my God, I could live here. And then he was like, well, go, my mom and my sister are here, they need a lot of help in the house. I was like, all right. And I was like, tell me what's the Wi-Fi code, because I can't seem to access. And he's like, there's no Wi-Fi. I'm like, what? I was like, well, I think we have to think about, I don't know if I can live.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? Like, isn't that amazing that we are so entrenched with that stuff now? We can't live without it.
I went from like, yeah, I'm going to move here. And then I was like, what? No Wi-Fi? Okay, wait, we have to renegotiate. But apparently they do have internet, but it's a dial-up. It's like connected to the landline.
Right. Yeah, I was there, not in Artsakh, but in Armenia in like 2003 or 4, and they have a center, like it's open 24/7, and you just go in there, use their Wi-Fi and so forth, and it was a very slow process. But you know what? They were still on the internet. They were getting every download in.
Oh no, Armenia's not like that at all anymore.
No,
nothing. The cafes have Wi-Fi. Everything is good. You know, Karabakh in a small remote town in a village of 200. Yeah. But I have to say, you know, look, it's a very small town, like I said, between 100 to 200 Armenians. And you know what? They still had a church, they still had a school, and they still had a center.
Now, Anne, how close were you guys? Yeah, you see, this is so ignorant of me because I really don't know. But how close were you guys from the fronts and all that to where?
No, not close.
No.
We were not near the borders. There was no, you know, skirmishes.
Right.
I was not, yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
No.
And this movie, too, has got a lot of international flavor to it. You have actors from Lithuania, Russia, United States, Iran, Greece. I mean, this was well put together.
Yeah, I mean, he used his first movie, Tevanik, and he used that like as a stepping stone almost, and he attracted a lot of, you know, producers, actors internationally. So Homayoun Eshrati, who was from The Kite Runner, is a very famous Iranian actor. He absolutely was on board, and he plays my father in the movie. And there's this award-winning Greek actress who played my mother. It was an international cast, and none of us were speaking. We were all speaking Azeri, which was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to learn Azeri here. I had a Digin Marita from Armenia who just really knows like the dialect of Azerbaijani from the villages, on Skype with her for 3 months studying my part. And I didn't have much to say, but everything I said had to be done, you know, very convincingly, because it wasn't going to be dubbed over. We were literally speaking. So there was a Greek, there was a Persian, there was an Armenian, and we're all speaking together like parents to a child in Azeri.
Now I'm kind of confused, because I thought the whole presence of this was like Armenians that were from a village or something. So this is an Azeri family.
My family's Azeri. There is an Armenian family, too.
Okay.
But my character, yeah, is Azeri.
Oh, I got you. Your family was Azeri.
Yeah.
Okay. How was that? How'd you learn that?
You know, I think being Armenian, you study, you know, I think if you can speak Armenian, you could probably speak many other languages easily,
yeah,
more
true.
Easily, because we have so many, you know, letters that we are natural to us. We have whereas like if you speak just English or just another language, you might not have all those vowels in this continent. So, I mean, I've often played different nationalities, and I can phonetically speak Greek. I've done Arabic.
Palestinian.
I just did Turkish. I've never spoken Hebrew or but I've spoken Arabic, and I recently did Criminal Minds, and I had to speak Turkish.
Wow. And you know what? Yeah. Turkish is basically Azeri anyway, right? So
Azeri is more like Turkish. It's very close.
Right.
It's very close. It's like 75%. Most most Azeris will understand Turkish, and most Turkish will understand Azeri. Yeah, it's not that far off. They're like cousins. So.
Now, let me ask you this, too. If you were talking Azeri and so forth, do you think, do you think the Azeri government would say, you know what, maybe we should watch this too or something? Maybe our people, or is it totally one-sided, Armenian side, or something like that?
One thing about Jivan's movies is, when he's telling a story about families, about redemption, about humanity, it just takes place in there, because that's like a true filmmaker. He's only going to tell stories that he knows about.
Okay.
So, and that's what he knows. He was raised with that conflict. So the movie is not about the conflict, but it's there. It's in the background. So obviously it's going to affect everyone's lives, but it's because it's happening as soon as you open your window. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie itself is not about the war, but it's there. The conflict is behind it. And he never, might be easy to convince an Armenian to come take part in a movie that's one-sided and showing us as good and them as bad.
Right.
But it wouldn't be that easy to convince a Greek and a Persian and a whatever to come and just portray the Turks as bad and us as good. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
His movies are never one-sided. It's not saying they're good, we're good, they're bad, we're bad. It's the stories about human beings. The conflict is there.
That's beautiful.
It's always
that's
in the background. Yeah.
How was it working with Jivan? He's had some big stuff in the past. Tell us a little bit about that. How did he find you and so forth?
Jivan, I have to say, I saw Tevanik, and I was blown away, so I contacted him.
Wow.
I found him. But there was a committee here for the U.S. release and stuff, and they were like, call us next week. We'll give you info. And I just went online and I found him and I said, listen, I saw your movie and I'm an actor. This is my reel. Watch it. If there's any way I can be of any help to you to get another project off the ground with my capabilities, in my capacity as an actress, I've got your back. So I never asked him what role, how big, how small, what language, nothing. He just told me. And he happened to be in Greece promoting the movie, but he was in pre-production for The Last Inhabitant, and he was looking for a character for a woman named Rebecca. And, in movies, they have, storyboards. They draw the main scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me the storyboard of Rebecca, and it looked like me. So when he saw my reel, he was like, he said, God sent you to me. I was looking for this character. I didn't know who was going to play Rebecca. And then you found me, he said. So it all just kind of meshed up. He happened to be looking exactly for me, for that character. He hadn't cast her yet. So it was perfect. The timing was perfect. The characters were right. It just happened. It was like synchronicity.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at this trailer, it's like snowflakes coming down, and it seems like I kind of get the visual of there's no one there anymore and the clothes are still hanging up and so forth. I kind of got a flavor of like Kosovo or all that stuff when it all happened in the 90s as well. Is that kind of like the portrayal of this as well, like with the Croatians and the Serbians and so forth, when one had to be kicked out of the town and all that, then there's no one left and so forth? Is that a chemistry to this as well?
Well, see, that trailer was made, I think, as the movie was being shot, or even before that initial one where you see just that black thing and you see the window and it looks like it's snowing or whatever. It sort of sets the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for and The Last Inhabitant is sort of like saying it's actually the last Armenian inhabitant is what it means.
Okay.
It is a town and the Armenians have been driven out by them. But one man remains because he's waiting for his daughter.
So when is this coming out?
You know what? I don't know. You'd have to speak to Jivan, but
right.
I think by July.
By July.
Because they're trying to get it into the Cannes film market. And then also there's the Golden Apricot Festival that happens in Armenia in July. So it might premiere in Armenia at the Golden Apricot, where I think Tevanik had premiered and also won for best film.
I tell you what, Anne, I am so good. This show is so good with promoting movies like that, because Chris Chambers, he came to us and we had every seat filled up. I don't know if we had anything to do with it, but we had it in St. Louis. He went to Canada. He said, you know what? Just hearing our show being, or our movie being mentioned on your show has helped out. So I hope to God we could do something with it too. Now, the people in Artsakh, were they just, you know, standing around watching you guys? And how cool were they with you?
Oh, wow. So here's amazing. So because they knew that the movie was being shot, and the movie was being shot over the course of a month. I mean, I was just there for a week, but they were shooting there for like 20-something days a month. You know, when you're on set, it's like everyone has to be quiet all the time because mm-hmm. they're shooting.
Sure.
The whole town was quiet the whole time.
Good people,
because they knew a movie was shooting. They were amazing. And, I mean, they would, you know, fed us and you know, there was a young girl. Every day she would put on her best clothes after school and come downstairs and come to our holding area and just to, can I get you a coffee? Is there anything you would like? And one day her father said, I think she's hoping one day to get a picture with all of you. And that's why she was putting on her pretty dress every day.
Oh, my God. How old was she? Or how old is she?
Maybe 11.
Oh, 12. Yarik. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and she would make us Armenian coffee and bring it upstairs and a sweet voice. I mean, they were so, so nice. I mean, the Gharabakhtis are generally like that. It's a very, very warm, welcoming, you know, you can knock on anyone's door, need anything, do, you know, they're amazing.
Inshallah.
They're amazing. Yeah.
You know what, though? I have a real difficult time with the Artsakh language. I just picked up. It's been a couple years now. I'm married an Armenian from Armenia, but that's still difficult for me. But Artsakh Armenian, God, I'm just
it's somewhere a different
else.
Dialect. Yeah, it's a different dialect. So yeah, it's a different dialect. But I mean, because you go there and you spend a month there, it'll start making sense.
Right.
It
yeah.
just takes a little getting used to.
Hell, you just learned Turkish or Azeri when you were there, so that's not any problem with you. So I guess this spring sometime or this summer we're gonna see this movie
summer.
Out.
And this summer,
mm-hmm. because it said I tell you what though, Anne, it said coming this spring in 2016. That's why I said spring. So
But we're already nearing spring, and I don't see. I mean, listen, I'm just an actress. You'd have to check in with the director,
but I
don't think it's gonna be, yeah. Yeah.
And you guys have a committee for this as well, and I mean this looks
in
like
US,
a first class operation. When's the first showing? Is it going to be in Europe, Armenia, or in the States?
I think it might premiere at the Golden Apricot.
Okay.
In Armenia in July, it might, but I know it's also going to Cannes. I mean, there's different rules with everything. Like I think at the Cannes Festival, they don't want the movie to have premiered at any other festivals. They want to be the first to do. So I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable enough to answer that. But I know for sure that Golden Apricot will get to show it at some point.
All right, beautiful.
That's in July, yeah.
So mm-hmm. what's your next project, Anne? What do you got going?
Well, I'm waiting. You know, this pilot season right now, so it's crazy times. I was reading for a new show today, this morning, and I thought it was at 11. That's why we scheduled this, and then they changed on me. They went to 9, so it's hectic. It's like, you know, the phone rings, and everything sort of changes, and you're running around, and it's, pilot season's usually, now they're casting all the new shows. Now they're writing all the new stuff.
At least you're getting those phone rings. You know, that's what it's all about. So good. That's a good dilemma to have. Anyway, all right, Anne Bedyan, my friends, part of the movie The Last Inhabitant. I said that right this time, didn't I?
Yes.
Because even in the promos, I kept saying inhibited. So
inhibited, yeah.
Inhabitant. So The Last Inhabitant, we're looking forward to seeing this. It's coming out in this summer, 2016. I urge all the Armenians to be aware of this, and I think it's great. And you know what? Just the thought of, like, you know, these are people that in Artsakh that gave so much to all of us to just respect Armenians throughout the world. I mean, that's beautiful that you could go to Artsakh, that you went and you had such a great time. And you know what? If those Armenians that didn't give their lives, this wouldn't have been possible. So God bless them, and I'm God bless you guys
for
making this movie.
That's one of the things I think I want to say two things, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
Number one, anyone who's like hearing this, go to Facebook to The Last Inhabitant, and you'll see all the info and all the updates there, all the videos, the behind the scenes. You know, Sos Johnny Bekian from Armenia, who's like the Brad Pitt of Armenia. Alexander Khachadurian, who's like a very renowned and respected actor, is in it. There's pictures, behind the scenes, interviews, updates, when it's premiering, what's going on, new trailers. And number two, if you ever have a chance, and you should make that chance, to go and see Artsakh.
Yeah, yeah.
It is something that will make an impression in your soul for life.
Well, that's
it's
had a
breathtaking.
We had a guest, Richie from Canada. He just went there. He just went there and just threw on a backpack and just traveled hiking, and he couldn't. I mean, we heard his stories and so forth. If you check it out on our podcast on armeniaproud.com, if you scroll down, you'll see Richie, and he gives us on his visits, on his walk and everything. He said it was such a great time, and the people are so, I mean, they'll throw kebabs and stuff for you out there, and they hardly even know you. So that's
there's restaurants
nice
in the forest where they get the honey from the bees thing there, and there's little lamps put inside the trees, and the water comes out of the fall. So you go down by the mountain, there's like an opening, and you get your water right out of the mountain.
Out of a spring, huh?
Yes, God. That's what I'm talking about. And it's just beautiful. It's nature at its finest. The air is so clean, unpolluted, fresh. And there's a resilience to the people, and Artsakh was our first victory in war in over 800 years. It boosted the morale for our people.
Oh my God, so right.
And it was so important to not lose it, because we've lost. And what would have happened? You know, some people actually said if we didn't get Artsakh, what would happen to Armenia? We just keep losing and losing and losing. So Artsakh is a very, very important location, and it's historically it's the greatest, like Tashnak fighters and all these, the Karabakhtis are well known for that,
right?
And it's a sacred place, and I think every Armenian has to make that trip.
Well,
absolutely, I make it every year.
Bravo. And you know what, I will this year too. I will make a visit to Artsakh if I have a chance. I'm going to be there probably like 3 weeks. Why not take a couple days and go to Artsakh as well? And you know, here's the thing too, that when you think about it, all the fighters, everyone, when you go to their grave site and did you visit any of that stuff too and put flowers? My mom, she went to Artsakh just to do that. She was so proud of it.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
No, I've actually, my first time I went with a Karabakhti girl who actually was there during the war. And the funny thing happened, we stayed in Stepanakert, and she's like, well, we have three houses to pick from. And I was like, what do you mean three? She's like, my aunt has three houses. It's like, how does your aunt have three houses? So apparently in one of the towns, when they finally drove the Turks out, whoever went and put a notice on the door saying, this one's mine, that one's mine, that one's yours.
Wow.
That's how they got the houses.
Excellent. Who cares? It's our place anyway.
And
you know what, Anne? Here's one last thing on this too. If they didn't do this, you know how much of our system, our Armenian heritage, we would convert to being Odars and stuff? In the early 90s, if we did not stand up for what we believed in, this is just to go one step further than what you were just saying about a minute ago. If we don't do this, a lot of our personalities and so forth might have even become more Odar now too. If we didn't stand up nationalistically and just be proud of our country and our fellow Armenians, I mean, if Artsakh would have been taken over,
we've been put under that pressure from a long time ago.
Yeah.
From the genocide, the ones who wouldn't convert, from Vartan Mamigonian times when we fought for Christianity.
Right.
I mean, we've been, you know, we're quite resilient people.
Right. Right.
We're very resilient people. We're very resourceful.
And
let me tell you, for Karabakh, like, wasn't a country, like, they didn't have a military, but they were fighting against the military.
Right.
But, you know, It was just people who were
just farmers
for their homes and their families. Yes.
Yeah, they were farmers.
Whereas the soldiers are, you know, that land wasn't even theirs 100 years ago. I don't think they were willing to die for it like our people were.
Right, right.
I think that was a big advantage we had.
I have an email that said, have you heard any music for the film? And is this by System of the Down, Serge Tankian? Does he have his input on this one too?
Yes, Serge Tankian scored the movie.
Wow.
All the melody, music, everything you're going to hear is from Serge.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That alone, I mean, this is going to catch a lot of people that just worship the music of System of the Down. So that'll bring them on board as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're so blessed with this movie. What a brilliant thing. And if, again, Serge also saw Tevan Inc. And he was really impressed with Tevan Inc. And he, like me, said, you know, I'm on board, whatever, in what capacity I could be of service and help. So Serge is working. I think it's completed now. I'm sort of scared to see it. I want to be able to see it when it's all said and done, fully edited. You know, I'm an actress, so I don't go through the process. You know, once I get off the screen, my work is done. They begin the process, scoring, editing, you know, color correcting, sound. They, you know, it's a process that, you know, I'm there for the magic moments when the camera goes on. They say action, and I just sort of step in and do. I have a minute part in this, to be honest with you, minute.
Well, you know what, Anne?
Yeah.
For you to be a proud Armenian and to ask, can I be involved in something like this? You know what? Bravo to you. And we know how much it means to you and a lot of Armenians out there. You mentioned all the actors and people behind the scenes too. I mean, it took a lot of work. And basically what it all comes down to, it's not about money. It's about, you know what? This is still showing symbol of national pride and just showing that
we do care
about everything.
But it's also worthy of making money. It's very worthy of making money.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know,
I'm sure. No.
You know what I mean? I wasn't impressed with Tevan Inc because it was an Armenian movie. I mean, we watch Armenian movies because we want to support it, but it's only us who go watch it. And being an actor, I've seen everything from best to worst. And so my bar is pretty high. But when I saw Tevan Inc, I was like, what? I didn't even know we had this potential in an Armenian from Karabakh. I was like, wow, this is on par with my best, with my, you know what I mean? And that, you have to support that. And you have to, you know, Pachatiria Pachatur.
Could this movie also have a sequel to it if it turns out really good?
I don't know. But I'll tell you, Tevan Inc was spoken about at the Academy Award level. You know, they were talking about it on one of the IndieWire things and saying, you know, Armenia is such a small country. They don't have the industry. They never have good enough movies to ever, you know, the quality is just not there. And they said, but this year they have a chance with Tevan Inc. Armenia finally has a chance to submit for Best Foreign, for a nomination.
Bravo.
For Best Foreign Film, for Academy Awards with Tevan Inc.
Oh,
so that's
God.
What this guy did. Yes. Yes. So we have to support it.
Oh, no. We're on
top
of
this. We have a chance to get on the map. Yes.
And my friends, like Anne said, if you guys are interested in this movie, on more information about it, look it up on Facebook, The Last Inhabitant. And you know what? You can't go wrong with it. It'll tell you dates and so forth. And we will also promote that site as well as much as we can too, Anne. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you, Jono. Thank you. My pleasure. And thank you for having me.
And again. Well, you're going to come on again too once this movie comes out, because that's how we did it with Chris Chambers. And we'd love to promote it more and more. And our listeners are getting more and more. And every time we're seeing the emails of people saying how much they love our show. So why not? This is we're very proud of you guys for doing this movie. And we're going to promote it as much as we can.
Perfect. Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
All right, Anne. Take care.
You too. Bye. Bye, everyone.
And that is Anne Bedian, my friends. Well, I tell you what, that was a great interview, Chris.
That was a really, really, she's just an interesting person.
Very interesting. And to have all those people out there in Artsakh and all that, it was so cool. And I tell you what, man, we gotta get her back on the show after this thing is out, and we got to give another promo for it again.
Absolutely.
And speaking of promos, my friends, our shows, we're part of Lineup Media, and check these shows out right now.
Let's get it on with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock.
People say, oh, he's grabbing the fence. That's allowed. What's not allowed is for the fighter to actually grab a hold of it to control their body position or their opponent's. And we tell the fighter, if you do that, I am going to be telling you, let go of the fence, and I'm going to be actually grabbing, and I won't do it in a nice fashion. I'm going to be slapping or pulling your hand off of the fence. If that action upsets your balance, you fall down, something happens, too bad. I'm stopping you from doing something without taking a point from you.
To find out more, go to letsgetitonpodcast.com or find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, only on the Lineup Media Group.
Hey friends, it's Nick Drago here. I'm the host of the Nick of Time podcast. That's the show where we indulge conspiracy theories, underreported news, media manipulation, political assassinations, government propaganda, false flags. We discuss the Illuminati and the military-industrial complex, UFOs, aliens, mind control. We throw away the official story here and re-examine things from a different perspective. Nick of Time is also the place where we take an open-minded look at all things paranormal and cult-related. So if you like ghost stories and stories about bizarre cults and strange religions, check us out. It's a big, crazy world out there. Log on to nickoftimepodcast.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. If you have a comment, question, or suggestion, again, nickoftimepodcast.com.
Hey, this is Darren Pang, alongside my partner Kelly Chase here on Chasing Pucks with Panger. This is our NHL podcast, and it's on NHLpodcast.com, and it's damn good. It's really good. So you got to listen up. Make sure you download us. Make sure you figure it out. Anything you want to know about the NHL, stories, we got lots of stories. Chaser, do we have lots of stories?
We got stories, folks. Title in, you're going to love it. Buckle up.
Vladdy's got that emotion about him. He really does. He doesn't want to back off in certain things.
Getting in a fight to back up his teammate, Jori Lehterä. No one else stepped in there, but he did. And the way he stepped in there was perfect.
You know what, Chris? All the great food I bet they have at Artsakh is unbelievable. And speaking of great food, hey, Mariam, how you doing?
Hey, Jono. I'm fine. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. How's your week been?
Week is good. Busy.
Busy, you know, huh? That's good. You can't be busy. Everyone should stay busy. So what do you got? What do you got going for us this weekend with our big recipe?
These are called cutlets, and it's like Armenian sliders,
okay,
basically. All right. And the recipe I got from my sister-in-law's grandmother. She made it back in 2001. She was here visiting us from Armenia, and I loved it. And my mother-in-law makes it as well. So I combined both of these recipes together. So it came out good, so I kept that recipe.
So what is this? Is this an appetizer or is this a dinner?
You know, it can be a dinner, and it can be an appetizer.
All right.
It can be both ways. It's, you know, you need ground beef and preferably with some fat. You need baking potato, one large. You need to peel that and grate it. And then one large onion, grated, or you can just put it in a food processor. Depends how you want to do it. One bunch of parsley chopped. Again, you can put that in a food processor, or you can use less of that. I like a lot of herbs. And a couple of pieces of stale bread soaked into the milk. So you just leave them, and then one or two eggs, breadcrumbs, salt and pepper.
And you mix this all up?
You mix this all up, yes. The breadcrumbs, it's optional. You don't have to, but it kind of gives that crunchy. So I like it. So when you mix this up, you put it in the refrigerator for overnight or a couple of hours. And then when you take it out, you form it just like sliders, little patties, and then pan fry it, stovetop. And what I like to do, I like to put it in the oven and cook all the way through instead of frying in the pan.
Right.
So When that's done, you can either serve it as sliders, or you can actually make some salad or pilaf or baked potato, roast potato on the side, and you can just eat it as dinner instead of doing appetizers.
That sounds really good. That sounds good. So how many or what's the take on this? I mean, you just mentioned one or two eggs, or how many people are we serving here?
If you have a pound of meat, and you know, just keep in mind that you're going to have all that stuff in there, and just, you know, it's going to increase the volume, you know, when you put the potatoes and the onions and the bread. And so it can serve, if you're making, it depends how big you're making too. So it can serve up to 6 to 10 people, or it can serve more. Depends on how big you make the sliders. But six, you know, easily you can feed six, and 10 probably appetizers.
Now, we are dealing with Armenians. We're feeding Armenians, so that may be four.
Pound of meat, yeah, more than that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that sounds really good. And so are you doing anything with the dough, or is this just you're just putting it on the side of the pilaf and so forth?
Well, I usually, when I make it, I make it with roasted potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I made it as sliders too one time, and I actually posted that on Cooking with My Armenian Family, and I have the recipe there and a photo. And I kind of I put cherry tomatoes on the top. So, it, you know, as an appetizer, you can definitely do that. But when I make it as dinner, I make a side of salad or a roasted potatoes.
Yeah, that sounds great. And that sounds like a great dish for this weekend, my friends, with Mariam's cooking. Yeah, that's excellent. You know what, Mariam, I got to hit you up for maybe next week or the week after or something. Can you look into this one dish that my mom used to make? It wasn't a dish. It was like, as you were talking, it just popped in my head. It was like mom would take this ground beef, and there would be like parsley and a little onions diced in there with meat, and she would mix all this up, and she would make something called semsex. Familiar with that at all?
Very familiar.
Yeah.
I'm just not. Yeah, I've heard that word. I've heard that word. My mom probably said it. But I can't.
Right.
I can't.
Well, what it is like, it's a dough that becomes like a half-shaped moon, and then she used to take a fork and put it around to where it would grab the other sides of it, and then she would just throw this in oil as the oil was going, and this thing would puff up, and the meat was inside of it too, and it became like a semi-little taco that was unbelievably good. We'd take it with lemons and stuff. It was delicious.
Yes, I actually now remember, not my mom, but I know my family member who does that. And every year, New Year's, for some reason, she makes this. And it's stovetop, right? It has two breads, and in between there is
It's not bread, though. It's like dough. Yeah, it is bread, but it's very, very thin, to where she folds it up, and then she takes a fork and puts the imprints of the fork all around the edges to make it look like a half moon. And then they drop it into the oil, and it only stays in the oil for about 2 minutes. And this thing's fluffed up and so forth, and you pull it out, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable, Mom.
So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And, yeah, I'll definitely get the recipe from her. Guess she made it differently because the concept is the same, because I now remember that I had it too. And the dough is basically water and flour. She doesn't have anything else in there.
Yeah.
And then the meat inside or something.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
For next time, definitely.
Excellent. And she did that with cheese, and she did that with meat too. And I didn't go for the spinach stuff, so there were some people that like spinach. Yeah, forget the spinach. You want meat or cheese? That's what I like. So that's what we had, and I tell you what, we'll try this recipe this weekend. What's this one called?
It's called cutlet.
Okay.
But you can call it Armenian sliders, because it looks like exactly like you would make sliders, but the name is cutlet.
Okay, and we could find this on Cooking with My Armenian Family, right?
Yeah, on my page, I posted this morning. You can just go to Cooking with My Armenian Family. And it's actually the first thing I posted this morning.
Excellent, excellent. And you could definitely find her stuff, folks, on Cooking with My Armenian Family. It's on Facebook. So, Mariam, I appreciate it, and we will see you next week.
All right. Have a nice weekend.
You too, buddy. I tell you what, man, if you guys out there are looking to buy anything from Amazon, you can't go wrong by going to our site first. It keeps the lights on. ArmeniaProud.com, Chris. They just go to the site.
Right,
it's so easy.
On the right-hand side of the page.
And I got to tell you, I just ordered History of Armenia, and I put it on our site, too, and I used our Amazon Click as well. I did, what do you say? I killed two birds with one stone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we got that.
Right,
I can't wait for that book that Matt put out there. I can't wait to see that one. And that should be, it said on there, it will be coming in Saturday.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's a couple days. And you know what? This is so cool about it. Once I went to that site on Amazon,
yep.
After I ordered it, it said one click, everything's ordered. It was so easy,
it's
guys.
Really, really simple.
So if you're going to order something, go to ArmeniaProud.com. And it'll be on your right-hand side. It'll say Amazon. Click it. You're right there. And we get a little boost. And we get all the accolades from this, you might say. Hey, our next guest. Well, she's our regular, Energy Healing Armenia. And we've got Ani. Ani, how are you?
Hello. Fantastic. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Tell me how you been.
I've been great. Been doing my regular workshops here in Yerevan, where I'm teaching people about energy and energy consciousness and becoming more self-empowered by using natural techniques and the mind. So it's been really, really great and very interactive.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. How's our Soup Sarkis doing?
He is also fantastic. We're getting ready to take a little weekend trip to Vanadzor because spring is coming and it's nice to, you know, get out in nature. We kind of try to take as many trips as we can. And, you know, in Armenia, it's kind of easier because it's quite affordable to do so, I must say.
Yeah. How's the weather now? How's the weather getting back in Armenia?
It's still cold, but it's sunnier and the ice is melting. So hopefully it'll be a good spring. We're kind of seeing pockets of it now, but
excellent.
It's still kind of cold. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So what do you got for us this week on our energy healing type of methods that you're always?
Well, I'm proud to announce that I have just hit my 1,000th.
I've seen that. You're
like,
at 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's baby steps, but, you know, it definitely made my day.
Oh, it is. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's like 1,000 or one, but it does really, you know, it makes a difference in
and just your attitude, just your, you know, just that energy that people are chiming in what I'm preaching about and so forth. So it is definitely cool.
And I love sharing what other people have to offer. And written articles or videos or anything helpful. I mean, I love sharing and
excellent.
It's really great community. Today I wanted to talk about something called past life regression. And it's a common form of therapy where if one wants to discover their past life, they go to a special hypnosis that puts them... a hypnotist that puts them under special hypnosis where they recall past life and they talk about it and they remember it or record it. And there's a few reasons why people turn to this form of therapy. One is sheer curiosity, of course. I mean, it's an interesting concept. Makes you think about, you know, reincarnation and how it's been mentioned in so many different religious texts and everyday kind of stories where people are remembering their births and before so.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, it's not really technically advertised in the Bible, if I must put it in those words, but it's mentioned, you know? So a lot of people are curious. And another reason is many people have certain natural abilities that really just seem to come at birth, you know? And there's there's really no explanation why somebody is so good at something without even them practicing, or on the opposite end, why somebody has such a certain fear or phobia or interesting habit that hasn't been acquired in their social construction. So it can link to past life. And basically, discovering what happened in past life and can help them realize why certain things are the way they are in this life, and they can work through those issues or revelations, if you want to put it that way.
So how, said that vaguely, but how does that, how can they work through that if they know what has, what they've been dealt? I mean, how could they change things around is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like for instance, somebody has a strong fear of snakes, right?
Mm-hmm. And snakes, heights, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like they've interacted with snakes in this life, you know, or even just the sight of it on television. They're like, ah, but you know what? They could have been bitten by a snake in the past life or had some kind of weird connection in that way. So it'll show, once you see it over, you kind of have to dig deep and be like, okay, well, that happened. And now I'm supposed to learn from it. And I can move on and realize that it should no longer be a fear. And that's just like a small example of infinite amount of reasons in that way.
Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you my fear. My fear is a moog. I hate mice. Mice scare the hell out of me. And, when I was back in when I was a little kid, there was this one mouse that ran by me at my parents' house one day, and I jumped on this table.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have seen me. I look like one of those NBA players. I jumped really high.
The cartoons with the elephant.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. And I've never liked mice. Snakes and stuff don't bother me because I kind of like snakes now because they eat those little bastards, so I'm very happy with snakes. Well, but what is it with? So you're saying in my past life I was a mouse or something?
No. Why should you have a fear of such a tiny little creature that you're way bigger than? Right?
Terrified, aren't they?
But also, you have to think about in Middle Ages, mice carried so many diseases and literally carried the plague and wiped out so many people. So that fear of mice, you might have had a past life in the medieval times in Europe.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you're already linked to like certain ancient European tribal kinds of stuff, you possibly could have had a past life.
Plague. Yeah, wow.
Maybe you or maybe your family members were affected by it, and it was just a big fear. Because you know nothing was really sanitary in those days.
No,
they used to like you know their sewage was the street literally, and there was people sweeping away. It was very uncivilized in that manner. Those living conditions,
right.
And it was a lot of people that lived during that time.
That's
so
great. That's
really
a great
possible.
Thing. Yeah. What was that? It was called blue bonnet or something like that.
Bubonic plague or something like that. Right.
Right. So when these people are going to their hypnosis, how does a hypnosis know how to catch the back end of this?
Well, they're trained, and it's really important. And I must stress this: people should not try it themselves. It's dangerous. So you have to go to a trained professional that will bring you back because you don't want to be stuck anywhere. But what they do is they lay you down, they put you in a meditative state, and it's very calm and relaxing. And then they start by getting a memory from this life. Okay, remember this part of your childhood? What do you see? You know, this room and so on. And then they take you back further and then further. And a little bit further, and then you remember you're literally coming out of your mother's womb, which is like really interesting. And a lot of people have
now how the hell do people remember that, Ani? Come on.
Well, this is the thing. All your memory is stored and not forgotten. It's just activated.
Wow.
So all this information is stored within you. And do you notice how for instance, there's family members, right, that they grew up in the same house, they ate the same food, hopefully they were treated the same, mm-hmm. But they end up so different from each other. It's because they've had different past lives to make their character and personality what it is. And you can tell an old soul, even in a young age person. You're like, wow, this kid is like really old soul. They just seem very wise for their beyond their years, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a little story behind that, what you're saying right now. Because one of my best friends, he went through this hypnosis stuff and so forth.
Ah.
And they recorded it on a tape. And this was like 15, 18 years ago. And mm-hmm. She said that she told him that you have another old soul that's your friend. His name starts with a J. She said Jocko, something like that. And on the tape, it's on the tape, and I mm-hmm. could not believe it. And after
you
woke up,
you were friends in a past life.
Yeah. I always wondered what we did and all that. It's kind of uh-huh. fun stuff too. So what
it's fun. You know, do you ever meet someone and you just feel like you've known them forever?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
sure.
It's like
maybe
your friend.
You have.
So basically, totally, like it's called a soul group where they say these certain amount of souls are in kind of a. In a group, and they get born and reborn together. And sometimes it's not so pleasant because let's say you had a dispute in a past life with a certain person, you can be born again in the new life together as a brother and sister or something, because due to karma, you're supposed to settle the dispute so you can both move on and stop carrying that pain in every life.
That makes sense. And that's,
uh-huh.
That's very nice too. In the perfect utopia world, you would accept that, but you know that doesn't always happen as well.
Yeah, and the point is to progress in every life, you know, so it gets better and better. Uh-huh. Sure. I mean, not to repeat the same mistakes. Then that's kind of like people feel like certain patterns keep following them and they don't know why. And past life regression might be very a helpful tool for them.
And I get guess over things. And I guess to our listeners, what Ani's trying to say is another great point here is be happy with everyone. You never know if you'll see them back 200 years from now.
Who yeah, knows? Definitely settle it.
Settle everything.
Settle it. So don't you bury guys, it. Settle it. Yeah.
So you guys are going on, are you guys going to stay there or come back the next night or what for this weekend?
Oh, no, we're totally staying. Like, there's like so many cute cottages and like little bed and breakfast places.
Oh, God.
Around. And I've stopped in Van Azor, but I haven't explored it. I stopped there because I hitchhiked one time. And
there you go.
Ended up there. Huh?
Well, there you go. I mean, that must be something new for Armenians. Pick up a hitchhiker.
You know, they it's very safe. I mean, I wouldn't do it alone, obviously, but right. They don't really, it's interesting, they don't pick up locals, but they'll pick up people that look like tourists, because it's kind of like
helping out,
you know, you share stories and they love to, and a lot of them are driving for a long time and they want to be entertained and they're curious. So it's really fun experience, safely,
well,
of course.
I had a guest, Richie, and he just toured Artsakh by just walking and catching a ride here and there. And he said the people are just outstanding, great people.
It's a really fun experience. Yeah, it's outstanding, and especially, I think, in Artsakh, too. They get really excited when visitors come.
Well, I tell you what, though, we did that great interview with Ann Bedyan, and... folks, I tell you, Artsakh is very beautiful, and if you guys get a chance to ever visit, I mean, there were a lot of people that sacrificed everything they had to make that free for us, and God bless all of them, and it gives opportunity for rest of Armenians throughout the world to visit Artsakh and just enjoy and, you know, just count their blessings and say thank you to everyone that gave so much for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. And they're very, very grateful.
Yep. Yep. All right. Okay, Ani, that's great. And you could catch Ani on her site. She just got her 1,000th like, folks. Let's Woo-hoo! Make it another 1,000 within a month here. And that's Energy Healing Armenia. You can't go wrong with it. And anytime, Ani, you got something to show, throw it on our site as well. Let us know about it. We'll throw it on our site. And I'm sure our people want to see it as well.
Thank you so much for the support. It means a lot.
All right. We'll see you next time. Hey, I tell you what, that was such a great interview with everyone here. What a great interview we had. And I can't wait for this movie to come out with The Last Inhabitant. And again, you guys could find that on Facebook as well, my friends. All the information and all that about the movie. I can't beat it. And what a great interview with Ann Bedyan. And you know what, my friends? I got one more plug here. I gotta give a little shout out to audibletrial.com/Armenia. And it's on armeniaproud.com. If you go, it's on the right-hand side. Everything seems to be on the right-hand side. And what this is, it's got Audible books that you could just download and listen to. There's a lot of times you don't want to read something or you can't, or you just don't have time like me. I'm interviewing everybody. But in any case, it's great for the car. You just download it and listen to it. It's audibletrial.com/Armenia, and it's on Armenia Proud. Click onto it. They got over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can't go wrong, my friends. And speaking of you can't go wrong, we can't go wrong by ending the show on that note. And to all my friends and listeners out there, Genatsit and Kishir Party, and we will be with you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatsit Hayed,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabenjian. You can find the show online at armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Plus, join the conversation on social media at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or at ArmeniaProud on Twitter. Get all of the Lineup Media Group shows at lineupmediagroup.com.